What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello, welcome to the show, everyone. We are going to be going through the brackets by region. This time, we are talking the South region, which features a number of really strong contenders for the Final Four and in the top four seeds, in my opinion. I think the South has the most potential in terms of the top four to actually get through to the Final Four. I think the South has the best top four, top to bottom, without any holes that could actually make it to the Final Four. So what does that mean? That I would say that between Baylor, Ohio State, Arkansas, and Purdue, those would be the safest top four seats to actually get through to the Elite Eight. So I would, at least from my opinion, I would feel far more confident in those top four seeds getting into a Sweet 16 than basically the other region. So we'll break it down. But Baylor, you know, in terms of their resume, they started out 18-0. Some people would still say that they're better than Gonzaga. I'm not entirely sure about that, but Baylor, incredibly deep team. Ohio State played in the toughest conference in the NCAA this year in the Big Ten. I don't think there's any doubt that the Big Ten was the toughest conference overall. And then you have Arkansas, who won 12 in a row against in the SEC, which was very strong. The SEC had a really strong year in a bit of a resurgence. Eric Musselman has already completed a turnaround program similar to what was going on with Nate Oates at Alabama. Those two teams, taking the place of Kentucky, which just completely fell off the face of the earth this year. You've got a very strong Arkansas team that plays a frenetic pace that teams are not really that accustomed to and can get them out of their element. So I do think Arkansas is a very dangerous out in this tournament. And then you got Purdue, again, another Big Ten school, incredibly solid across the board. No real issues on this team outside of the fact that they're a young squad. But skill-wise, they are pretty much solid across the board. I mean, realistically, the only reason why Purdue didn't get talked about more this year is because of how good the Big Ten was when you've got Ohio State, Michigan, Illinois, it really does get hard to get noticed in that region, but in that conference. But you know, Purdue has an excellent chance of making a deep run, and you know they're not going to be focused on that much because of just what they did in the regular season, kind of getting overshadowed by a bunch of teams. So, you know, it's just something to kind of keep your eye out for in general, because, you know, we're not going to be, we're not going to know exactly how this is going to shape up. But I do strongly believe in the matchups here favoring the top four seeds. But let's go through it by the bracket. Baylor, they've got a 16 seed matchup against Hartford, who won the American East for the first time ever. So this their first NCAA bid. I don't see any potential for 16-1 upset. You know, this year especially, I just don't see any 16-1 upsets. I know how rare it is, and you know we did have the UMBC Virginia debacle a couple of years back, but I just don't see that remotely coming close this year, to be honest. We have an 8-9 matchup between North Carolina and Wisconsin. Again, this is really tight because Wisconsin had a very solid year in the Big Ten, you know, despite all the teams that they were going up against. And I didn't even mention Iowa when I was talking through the Big Ten. That's how solid the Big Ten was. They just have so many schools that were in the top 25 for the entirety of the season. UNC, you know, they have talent. There's no doubt about it. UNC can, they're the 8 seed. They can win this game, but I would not necessarily feel that confident in, you know, in UNC matching up against Wisconsin. I know Wisconsin has been a roller coaster of if they're on it or off, but, you know, winner take all, who's the best team on the court? I think it's Wisconsin, and I just think it's just a matter of if Wisconsin doesn't get in their own way, they're going to win this game. So I got Wisconsin over UNC. Now, in terms of the 5-12 matchup, this is the one where everyone's picking an upset between Villanova and Winthrop. Here's the deal. We're not entirely sure what's going on with Villanova, because again, we've got conflicting reports on what is going to happen with Colin Gillespie. You know, if he's actually going to be able to come back for any portion of this tournament. You know, with the MCL injury that he's got, I just don't know what Villanova team we're going to get. So here's where, you know, tournament strategy comes into play. Do I think Villanova is going to beat Winthrop? Yes. But am I absolutely confident that they're going to get past Winthrop? No. Do I think Villanova in their present state, can they beat Purdue? Absolutely not. I would be shocked if Villanova beats Purdue in the second round without Gillespie in the lineup. And by all accounts, it looks like he's not going to be available probably until the late stages of the tournament. And at that point, you know, we're getting into a dicey situation where I just don't see... I don't really see where we're going to be able to get to. I just don't see it where Villanova is going to make it past the first weekend. So at that point, I'm kind of looking at it from the standpoint of, you can take a 5-12 upset with Winthrop, just depending on the scoring scoring style of your bracket, if it's add the value of the seed or multiply the value of the seed. This would be one to take a shot on, because I don't see Villanova advancing that far past the first round in this opening round. So that would be one where you kind of take a shot on and maybe score some additional points over the field. So it's worth a punt, at least. Purdue versus North Texas. You know, I already told you how high I am on the top four seeds in the South region. I see Purdue winning, and I see them winning in the second round against the winner of Villanova Winthrop. In the second half of the bracket, we got Texas Tech and Utah State. This is a tricky one for Texas Tech, mainly because, you know, Tech has beaten top teams, and they've lost to a bunch of teams. It's a very volatile matchup, because I can see this going either way between these two schools. You know, Tech should be favored. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, it's not entirely certain that Texas Tech is going to be able to manage with the size on the interior Utah State has, because they've got a 7-foot center in, and I'm going to butcher his name, Nimi Esqueda, who averages 3 blocks a game. You know, he's going to contest shots in the middle. Tech is going to have to be able to hit their perimeter shots. And again, they've been very streaky throughout the year. So I'm leaning towards Tech, but that is another upset that I could see happening, and it would not shock me in the slightest. Number 3. Arkansas versus Colgate from my old conference, the Patriot League. Arkansas, I already talked about how up and down they play at extremely frenetic pace. Colgate also plays a very frenetic pace. And, you know, no one has actually seen Colgate really play, because the Patriot League had no non-conference games this year. Colgate also played the fewest games out of any tournament team, I believe, in history, because the Patriot League had reduced so many games due to cancellation due to COVID. You know, Colgate only played, I believe it was 15 games total, 14 games maybe, if that. But Colgate plays a very frenetic pace. They shoot deep from three. They're gonna put up points. I just don't see any way of them slowing down Arkansas at all. And the fact that the opening line for this game was north of 100, I believe it was 155 points when this line originally opened up. You know, the bookmakers already know this is going to be a high-scoring game. I just don't think Colgate is going to be able to keep up in the second half against Arkansas playing that at that level of speed. So I don't see an upset here. I just think we're going to see a lot of points being scored, and we could see Arkansas get close to clipping 90 points in this game, to be honest, just because of the pace at which these two teams play. Florida versus Virginia Tech. This is another coin flip matchup, because I think you can make a solid case for either side getting a win here, you know. And Virginia Tech didn't play all that much in the last month and a half of the year because of protocols and canceled games. So Virginia Tech could be very rusty, to be honest, playing so few games in the past month and a half. I don't know how they're going to look, you know. Florida, at best, is a one-win team in this tournament. I don't see either of these teams really giving Ohio State a ton of trouble. If anything, it would be Virginia Tech if they were a bit sharper. But again, we just don't know how Virginia Tech is going to look given the lack of playing time they've had over the last month and a half. So I would lean towards Florida getting the win here by virtue of inactivity with Virginia Tech. But neither of these teams I see doing much against Ohio State. Ohio State versus Oral Roberts. You know, I think Ohio State takes care of business. And then we get into this situation where, you know, in the second round matchups, I just see the top four seeds make it straight through. I don't see, I really don't see these other teams being able to stop the top four seeds. So, you know, when you got matchups between Baylor versus Purdue, Arkansas versus Ohio State, I can make cases for any one of these four teams getting wins and coming out and winning the region outright. You know, I would lean towards Ohio State number one over all these teams, but I would not be shocked to see Arkansas, Baylor, or Purdue in the Final Four. Like I said, this to me, the South region has the strongest top four seeds, in my opinion, in terms of capability of going to the Final Four. So I really look at this as a case where, you know, we're going to see a bit of more uniform chalk, to be honest, in this region. I think the Midwest region is where we're really going to have to concentrate on finding where we feel confident in with some of these picks. So that does it for the South region. Let's tackle the Midwest now, because that's where we're really going to have some difficulty feeling great about anyone not named Illinois or Houston. So Illinois, top seed in the region, you know, won the Big Ten tournament. And I will have to say that this is one of the most dangerous regions. This is the most dangerous region in the entire tournament. This is the one that's probably going to blow up everyone's brackets if you don't get it right. And I'll be honest, there was a lot of improperly seeded teams, in my opinion, in this region, because some of these teams should have been either allocated to the west or moved to the south. But let's just get right down to it. You got top four seeds, one Illinois, two Houston. The three seed is West Virginia, whom I don't believe is a three seed. I think, again, right off the bat, I don't like the three seed, and I don't like the four seed in Oklahoma State. I really don't like either the three or the four seed. So that's why I look at this as, like, these are the types of issues that crop up, and you can really see how certain teams are going to have some difficult times. And, you know, it's a tricky, some tricky matchup. So let's get into it. Illinois versus Drexel should be able to take care of business. I don't see any issues here going up against Drexel. Loyola Chicago, the one that made the Final Four run a couple of years ago, versus Georgia Tech, who won the ACC tournament and is on an incredible hot streak right now. I believe Georgia Tech is 11-2 since the beginning of 2021. Loyola Chicago is no way, shape, or form an 8 seed. They should have been a 4 seed in this region. How Loyola Chicago got the 8 seed in the same region as Oklahoma State getting a 4 is maddening to me. I don't know what the selection committee looks at when they're looking at somebody's tournament resumes, but these two teams are flipped. And instead, you've got a potential where you should have had a Georgia Tech team that probably was a 7 seed or an 8 seed going into a 9 seed matchup. You've got two teams that definitely had capabilities of getting into the Sweet 16 going out before the first weekend. Because while I do believe Loyola Chicago is going to win this matchup, I can see Georgia Tech winning, but I'm not sold on Loyola Chicago knocking off Illinois. But if there was a 1 seed that I could see dropping before the first weekend ends, it is Illinois because of the Loyola Chicago potential. I think Georgia Tech would give Illinois trouble, but I think Loyola Chicago is the better overall squad. I think Loyola Chicago is a top 20 team in the league. In all of the NCAA this year, KenPom had them ranked, I believe, 8th overall in the tournament, which shows you how strongly they work out statistically. So Loyola Chicago is a very, very big problem for brackets this year, because they can easily blow up a bracket, and I wouldn't be shocked about it. So if you're playing multiple brackets, I would forecast the possibility of another Loyola Chicago run, because this squad may be better than the squad that made it to the Final Four a couple of years ago. And again, from a talent perspective, is where I'm talking about. A lot of times in the NCAA tournament, you got to have certain factors of luck and matchups play a role in where you get seated and, positional matchups. But Loyola Chicago could be a very big problem to deal with. The 5-12 matchup, Tennessee versus Oregon State. Oregon State made a run to win the Pac-12 tournament. 12 seed, they seeded them in the same range as Georgetown. I don't necessarily agree with Georgetown or Oregon State getting those 12 seeds, but, it is what it is. They got seeded there. I don't expect an upset here. I expect Tennessee to get the win here. It is one of those cases where I see Tennessee getting the win, and, it comes down to how much I don't think Oklahoma State's all that great. The issue I had with Oklahoma State is the fact that, I know everyone is big on, they talk about Cade Cunningham and how potential he is for being a top pick in the NBA and possibly being the top pick. I'm still not entirely sold on Cade Cunningham, to be honest. I really don't think so. When a team is based on the quality of one player, basically, it is one of those things where I look at the supporting cast, LaKelly and Avery Anderson, good players. I just don't have a great feeling about this Oklahoma State squad, and it's just me, because I know a lot of folks have picked them to be a dark horse team in the tournament. I just don't see it. Do I see them beating Liberty? Yes. Do I see them beating Tennessee? I'm not entirely sold on that. I think against quality competition, I think they're vulnerable. And again, I think a lot of this leans on Cade Cunningham having an amazing tournament. And like as I said, I'm still not sold on him just yet. So, for everyone saying he's the number one potential number one pick in the NBA draft, I got to see more. I really do need to see more. I can't be any blunter about that. So I'm going to be further down on Oklahoma State as than most people. And if it burns me, it burns me. But I kind of stand on that one. And, when you're kind of coming into these brackets, you got to start formulating kind of where you're going to go with a number of these picks. So I'm going to be further down on Oklahoma State than most. San Diego State in the bottom half of the region as the 6th seed versus Syracuse, the 11th seed, who probably shouldn't have even made the tournament, but Jim Boeheim and crew are back in the NCAA tournament. And, I don't necessarily think Syracuse is going to blow any rosters this year. It's one of those it's one of those things where I guess it's a case where you could say, you know, the 2-3 zone can give teams fits and cause them to be, you know, not as sharp. I just think that San Diego State's just a flat out better team. They won the Mountain West regular season and the tournament. Realistically, they probably should have been closer to a 4 seed or a 3 seed. I just think they're underseeded here. So I just don't see them dropping to Syracuse. And I definitely think they're better than West Virginia, who plays Morehead State. You know, West Virginia got the seeding, and, you know, I just think they're overseeded. I don't see West Virginia necessarily being that great. They haven't won they haven't pulled off 4 straight wins since December. They've been up and down. You know, it's a Bob Huggins team. They can play some defense. They can rebound. They got size. But, you know, when it comes to shooting, they are suspect. And I think in against quality matchups, they can get exposed. And if Morehead State, from what I've been reading up on them, if they seem to be a very good perimeter shooting team, I think this could be a case where you could call for an upset, because, you know, they've lost 1 game since late December. They're one of the defensive statistics with KenPom. They rank amongst the best in the NCAA, especially high amongst the mid majors. I think West Virginia's vulnerable. You know, I wouldn't necessarily be that aggressive of calling Morehead State upsets in every bracket, but I think having one, if you're playing multiple brackets, having one bracket where Morehead State pulls off the upset isn't the craziest thing in the world. But I definitely think San Diego State's better than West Virginia in a straight up matchup. So I would be taking San Diego State in most matchups against West Virginia head to head, regardless. And then we got a 7-10 matchup between Clemson and Rutgers, where, again, I think both of these teams probably could have been seeded 7-10, but probably put them in a weaker region. Like, the Midwest just has too many killers, to be honest. You know, Rutgers could easily win a game in this tournament, as well as could Clemson, and the fact that they're playing each other is a bit unfortunate, but, you know, this should be one of the more entertaining matchups in the first round. And, you know, I definitely think that, you know, when we're looking at Cinderella teams, both Clemson and Rutgers have a chance to do it. And, you know, Rutgers was so bad for so long. You know, this is Rutgers' first NCAA tournament since 91. If you don't believe, you know, players that stuck around with a terrible team and helped bring them back, and you got Ron Harper Jr., yes, the junior, as in Ron Harper, point guard for the Clippers and more famously for the Chicago Bulls, you know, you've got guys with pedigree. They can shoot the ball. They can play defense. You know, Rutgers is a tough out, and Clemson, again, SEC was incredibly strong. I'm saying SEC, Clemson's ACC, but Clemson had a pretty strong year overall. And the reason why I was saying SEC is because they beat Alabama, but that was a non-conference game, obviously. But Clemson beat Alabama, they beat Purdue, they beat Maryland, they beat North Carolina, and they also beat Purdue. But Florida State. They've got a tournament resume that is very stacked. They've gotten the wins over the teams that they need to get wins against. This is one of those dark horse teams that you would talk about with the NCAA that, you know, in certain circumstances, they can make a run to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8. I definitely see the upside there in the matchup. It's just that they got a very tough first round matchup against Rutgers, and an even tougher matchup in the second round against Houston, whom I expect to handle Cleveland State. Here's the deal with Houston. Kelvin Sampson has built a juggernaut that is the most unheralded juggernaut in the NCAA tournament, because no one's talking about Houston, but they are number one in field goal percentage defense. They can actually shoot the ball. And, you know, the biggest knock on Houston was the fact that they played in the American Athletic Conference. But the same knocks that you make against Houston are the same knocks that apply against Gonzaga. So Gonzaga seems to be getting the pass while Houston is completely flying under the radar. I don't necessarily see Houston losing in this bottom half of the region. I think, you know, this is one of the stronger locks for making it to the Elite Eight. And because of how crazy the top half of the Midwest is, with Illinois, you know, kind of having to get past that second round matchup, and, you know, you don't know if we get an upset there. I think, you know, the top half is going to be predicated on who wins the matchup between Illinois and the winner of Loyola Chicago Georgia Tech, because I think they can beat Tennessee. And obviously, I have Tennessee ranked ahead of Oklahoma State. So when you're looking at the bottom half of the draw in the Midwest, you know, Houston can make their bed here and get themselves in favorable matchups. I think Houston is the most likely team to reach the Final Four in this region because of the teams Illinois has to go through in the top half. So I really do like Houston quite a bit. The struggle for them would be that second round matchup against Clemson and Rutgers. But as I said, it's not nearly as difficult of a path as Illinois has with the Loyola Chicago Georgia Tech matchup. So to me, Houston lucked out with not getting the top half of the draw and getting the bottom half of the draw. So, you know, again, this is where you're kind of working out your strategy of where I want to go with my brackets, because I can see the scenarios where it works out for Houston, but not necessarily Illinois in this region. So that kind of wraps up the regions. But again, when we're talking about teams that can win it all, you know, you're looking at Gonzaga, you're looking at you're looking at the Ohio States of the world. I'm, you know, definitely high on Baylor. If we're talking about the South region, I'm high on all top four seeds. But I really like Gonzaga out in the West. To be perfectly honest, I think the West is the weakest region overall, with the strongest team in the region. So I have to favor Gonzaga in the West. And in the East, because of Michigan's issues, you know, they are vulnerable in the East. And, you know, a team like Alabama can definitely take advantage of it. Florida State can take advantage of it. Texas is certainly capable of making the run. You know, there are teams in the East that can certainly surge. And, you know, in the South, as I said, wide open, in my opinion. And in Midwest, you know, as good as Illinois is, Houston has the better draw to get to the Final Four. So a lot of interesting dynamics that can play out in this tournament, and can't wait to find out how it sorts itself out. But definitely curious to see how this all shapes up, because we have a chance for a very upset-driven tournament based on the lack of crowds. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how some of these teams play on a truly neutral court, given the lack of presence with the crowd. So that's going to do it for the show, but hope you guys enjoyed the tournament. We're all hoping for a successful and safe tournament for everyone involved. So until next time, enjoy the games, and we'll definitely catch up as the tournament progresses. But bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.